your questions may be directed, or you can pass the questions to the center, and we'll address a few of those. And Dr. Douglas, you're part of the panel tomorrow afternoon when we'll be discussing questions on doctrine and theology, when I think we can pick up some of those questions further. So we'll, because the time has is 9:20, and I think many of you are tired, we'll deal with some, just two or three questions, and then we'll save those questions for tomorrow afternoon. So we'll take about 10 minutes. I know you've been standing for a long time.
You're getting sleepy, aren't you?
Well, I think we've been challenged and stimulated, and I think we all, it's been a day-long experience of stimulation. I think perhaps some of us would like to go and rest so that we can be ready for tomorrow. So we'll just take two or three questions, and then we'll continue tomorrow afternoon with some of these questions and then others. That
Sleep well.
Yeah. But no, I will ask you just two or three questions from here, and then, Okay. And then we'll continue tomorrow so that we can have at least a little bit of interaction.
Let's see what they are.
Yes. He showed us how to live and die so that we can eventually be entrusted with eternal life. If we live like him, then has anyone been saved ever? Eventually, how do you reconcile this with John saying, we have eternal life now? How do you respond to that?
Well, there have been many people. Several were taken to heaven already. Mm. Enoch, Elijah, men like Daniel is still with us. Moses is in heaven. There have been many people from God's, that's God's department, by the way, as to who he wants to bring to heaven before the resurrection. But we know that many people have measured up, as we've been told with our insights. And of course we have eternal life now. That's the assurance that we're living with Christ now. I don't think anybody doubts that. That text means that that's one of Calvinist's points, you know. If you once give your life to Jesus by raising your hand sometime, say the salvation prayer or the 4 points, you're in, and God can't take you out because you're in. No, we live in that wonderful assurance that if you stay in the hand of the Lord today, tomorrow, the rest of the days of your life, you're a saved man. Mm-hmm. You have no reason to doubt that your salvation is now. If there's any confusion on that, well, we should really talk about that more, because salvation is now. That's why I wrote the book, Should We Ever Say I Am Saved? That's the reason why I wrote that book, to answer that question.
Thank you. Should the post-lapsarian position be written into the fundamental beliefs of the SDA Church? Why or why not?
Well, you know, that's why we're here. Try to think that through as how we can best relate. I don't know if we ever will come to that place in the General Conference, because you don't settle things by committee. Mm-hmm. You don't settle things by who's got the most votes in the room.
Right. I think the question is asking, though, is not is it realistic or not, but should it?
Well, we don't have the prelapsarian in our fundamental beliefs.
Mm. Is that, are you saying then that what we have is sufficient or
not my
good
language,
enough?
Not my language, but I'm just trying to be realistic.
Okay.
It's not going to happen in the next 4 years that I know about. Right, Woody?
But do you want it to happen? And if so, should it happen?
If you're asking me a personal opinion, I would say yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. We'll just take one more, and then earlier today, we heard that perhaps not more than 1% of SDAs are concerned about QOD issues. What would you say about how many SDAs are affected by QOD issues, even if they have never heard of them?
They're affected by these issues because, not that they know about the controversy, but by what is being preached. Rarely do Adventists hear in their Sabbath sermons any more than they get from Rick Warren. Many Adventists pick up Rick Warren's sermons every week. I get them every week. from his minister's toolbox. And some, many of these preachers even use his titles. They don't even change the titles and put them in their church bulletin. His sermons are good. Rick Warren's sermons are really interesting. They're motivating. They're pleasing. But they're not Adventist sermons. I'm just an example of how the lack of sense as to what Jesus can mean to them. Now, this young man that I'm talking about graduated 30 years ago, president and valedictorian of his class. Mm-hmm. He had been given a seat at West Point. He was on the way to West Point, and he messed up that summer, got into drugs, mm-hmm. alcohol, and for 25 years, he lived the life of a bum. He made money because he was brilliant. And I don't want to tell the whole story here, but he and his wife, who came to be his wife, she lived with him in this awful situation, and they heard Doug Baxter on just surfing through the TV, mm-hmm. and they listened to this man. I said, wow, that's interesting. He turned up in a Taco Bell where she was working. He comes in with his baseball cap on, you know, and she still looked at him and said, are you on TV? And of course, he pulled off his hat, and yes. And it ended up with him getting another CD for her, and she wanted to know, what do you do? I have a church. So after a while, dressed as they were, long hair on both, scruffy, no shoes, they had no clothes except his ragged clothes, and they went to church that way. Uh-huh. And the church loved them. Mm. They didn't turn away. For a year, he never wore a shirt. He became, I can tell this in many ways, in many people. He learned what Jesus means to us, that Jesus came down and took the same kind of liabilities every one of us. He knows how to speak to people who have the same problems because Jesus had the same concerns in his mind that this man had. And he needed the Holy Spirit to tell Jesus how to hang in there. And you tell that young man that Jesus knows what you went through. He knows what you need because he needed it, and the Holy Spirit is going to tell you what you need. He began to talk that way and listen to that way with his wife. Those two are brilliant Adventist teachers in the church today. Brilliant.
That's a beautiful story. Thank you. We'll just use this as the last question. Why did the concerned men at General Conference headquarters who objected to the contents of QOD not stand strongly and openly by Elder Andreasen when he lost his credentials and sustentation, since he was objecting to the same matters that engendered their concerns, but which they did not present outside the walls of the General Conference?
The answer simply is groupthink, the psychology of groupthink. These are good men. They were good men. I could just stand here and tell you about these men. They're just caught in the groupthink of the time. And we can be careful. We should be careful today in certain areas of groupthink. Most of them were not theologians. Mm. They just trusted they're so busy. Administrators, union presidents, conference presidents are so busy. These men deserve our appreciation. They work 60, 70, 80 hours a week. And they you thought about it, you took care of it. I got other things on my mind. That's the way they usually think. It's not their problem. That's their job description, I guess. So I don't blame them. It would have been nice if they stood up, though. But many did. R.R. Beetz, Ted Carsage, M.E. Kern. But they were afflicted with this kind of leadership aura. Some leaders, you know, you just kind of, it's that papal influence we have in this church.
I noticed that in some of my research, some who sympathized with Elder Andreasen later were put off by some of the expressions. So it wasn't just one side or the other.
He can tell you far more.
No.
Read his dissertation.
Well, thank you for the plug. And thank you for this wonderful day of great discussion, learning, conversation. Would you stand with us in prayer? Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for leading us to this place and having led us in this wonderful community of faith that we call our spiritual home, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. We stand here together as brothers, sisters, friends, members of your household, and we continue to ask you to guide us in our conversation, in our hearts, in our spirits. May we continue to reflect your spirit. May we continue to be like Jesus. We thank you for the ministry of Dr. Douglas and the ministries of many who have, those who have presented today. May our conversation not cease with formal presentations. May our conversations and may our drawing toward one another and to you continue tomorrow and in the days to come. We ask you that you be with us as we make our way to our homes and our rooms and our beds. Give us a good night's sleep. Give us the rest that we need. We thank you for Jesus. Amen.
Amen.